Hello. We are learning the Kutasiches Chelek Yud Gimel, the Sicha of Shlach Aleph, the first Sicha of Shlach. This is a very Gishmak Sicha, answering some very basic, general questions on the story of the Meraglim, the spies or the scouts that Moshe Rabbeinu sends into Eretz Yisrael to scout out Eretz Yisrael, and some very profound, classic Heroes, lessons, Ba'avedas Hashem. Page 39. Kvar duber kama piyamim, shetechana ha'ikri, shal kol sedre, kol ha'parshiyus shabah. It has been spoken a number of times that the main content of a sedre, within all of the parshiyus, the specific parshiyus within a sedre, merumus b'shem she'nikras, al pi minig Yisrael asher teirahi. That everything that goes on in the parsha is alluded to in the name of the parsha, which the name of the parsha was named by Minig Yisrael. And we know that Minig Yisrael Teirahi, that once something is accepted as a Minig, it becomes a part of Teirah. And therefore the name of the parsha is a chelik of Teirah. And therefore it contains within it a connection to the rest of the parsha. The same thing would apply to the Seder of this week, shenikras b'shem shlach, which the parsha is called shlach. Mizeh muvan shebishem zeh mizbatas hanakuda ha'ikris shel ha'inyanim ha'medubarim b'chol ha'parshiyus shebeh ha'seder. So it's understood that this name, the name of shlach, expresses the underlying theme of all of the issues or the topics that are discussed in all of the parshiyos in the seder. In other words, we often use the word parsha to mean the parsha of the week. But a parsha can also mean a section within a sedra, which is the portion of the week. So the sedra here is referring to the whole sedra of Shlach, and the parshiyos are the individual sections within parsha Shlach, and all the sedra of Shlach, and all of the parshiyos are connected to and hinted to in the name Shlach. V'tzarech lahavin, and this we have to understand. Nekudas in the Shlach Lecha Anashim, Harei Urak Sipur Koyres B'nai Yisrael, V'yeyesom Bamidbar. The story of Shlach is an event, is an anecdote in history. Something that happened to the Yidden in the Midbar. V'loi mitzvah shenitzavinu l'kayim ha'v'kayetzabas. And not a mitzvah that we were commanded to keep permanently. But in the parshiyus of this sedra of Shlach that follow the story of the Meraglim, yes, ben mitzvahs ledoidus. There are certain mitzvahs that are applicable eternally, practically eternally. Umagam haparsha shebesiyum ha-sedra, especially the portion at the end of the sedra, shehi mitzvahs tzitzis, which is the mitzvah of tzitzis. He mitzvah kalalis ha-mevia lischides kol tayag mitzvahs. This is a general mitzvah that brings to remembering all of the other mitzvahs. Like you see, the pasuk says that you'll see the tzitzis and you'll remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. So we see an intrinsic connection between tzitzis as a general mitzvah. And in the other two, the Rebbe references the Rashi, which the Rashi says that the word tzitzis, which is the numerical equivalent of gematria of 600, plus the 5 knots and the 8 strings of tzitzis equal tariyag 613, where we see a connection between tzitzis and mitzvahs and all the mitzvahs. So it's a general mitzvah, not just a mitzvah that's applicable beyond the time in the midbar. It's also connected to all 613 mitzvahs. The eich yitachim sha'inyan the shlach lecha anashim she'enei ala sipur dvarim. So how is it possible that the idea, the story of shlach, sending people, which is only a story, yehei chashuv yeser mi'amitzah shebesedra, should be more important and more fundamental to and be in the name of the sedra? It should be more important than the other mitzvahs in the sedra. Kolel mitzvahs tzitzis ha'kolelas eskalat yag mitzvahs, including Mrs. Tzitzis, which, like we said before, includes all the mitzvahs. So much so that the name Shlach, or the word Shlach, contains within it, and it expresses the underlying or the fundamental theme of the whole sedra. And if you're going to say, well, after all, you know, the seder, it might be it might have to be connected, but look at the other sederis. They're named after one of the first words. So the Rebbe addresses that. And even those, simply speaking, it's called, the seder is called shlach because that word comes in the beginning of the seder. And the whole seder is known by its beginning. Even if the reason why we're calling it is because it starts with the word shlach, nevertheless, since this is its name according to Torah, like we said before, meaning Yisrael Torah, the name must express the content of the entire sedra, as we just mentioned, and therefore we have to understand what is the connection between shlach and the rest of the seder. You know, it's interesting that in the last couple of sichas in Nosai, he asked, "What's the eternal message, so to speak, of counting the Leviim?" In Baal Lo Yischa, he explained the eternal message of the Chatzaitzris, and here he's asking, "What's the eternal message of shlach lechanos?" So, in order to understand the Nekuda of Shlach, how it relates to the whole Seder, that we have to understand the story of the Meraglim. We have to get a deeper or a more basic understanding in what exactly happened with the Meraglim. The Yuvan Zeh, Eis Beis, Yuvan Zeh, V'haktim Biur B'muhus Chet Meraglim. This could be explained by first explaining what was the sin of the Meraglim. What was their Aveda? What did they do wrong? And he's going to explain what his question is. The pastor's chatu bazeh shebo v'sipru ki az ha'al ma'yesev ba'aretz v'arim b'tzudus g'delis ma'id v'gam yilidei ha'anok reyinu sham. Seemingly, what was their sin? That they came back and they told a negative report. The nation is strong. The cities are fortified. And we even saw the children of the giants. V'lechere, and they move on. So on this we have a question. They were sent for this very purpose, to see the land, what it's like, to see the people that are living there, are they strong or otherwise? The cities, are they fortified or are they open? And this, therefore, they responded, yes, then people are strong. The cities are fortified. Why is this a sin? This was the fulfillment of their mission to scout out Eretz Yisrael. So what was their great sin? And here is the explanation of the sin. Moshe sent them, and here's the key, not if, but how. He wasn't asking them if they can go into Eretz Yisrael. He was asking them how to go into Eretz Yisrael. In the words of the Sicha, he was trying to discover which way and which oifin, which manner would be the easiest to conquer Eretz Yisrael. From which location it is most worthwhile to start the conquering. And of course the Eibishter could have done a miracle. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to find out naturally, without relying on miracles, on Nisim, what is the smartest, most strategic way to conquer Yisrael. Since we know that the Eibishter does not make a miracle for nothing, therefore, he doesn't make an unnecessary miracle, unnecessaryness. We have to make our best effort in every aspect. Even if we know at the end that we're going to need the miracle from the Eibishter, but nevertheless, our part is to do as much as I can from a practical or natural way, and to minimize the amount of miracles, or how many details in the miracle would be needed at Kamashevshah. We have to minimize the reliance on miracles as much as possible. Avol batuach, and therefore Moshe sent them to find out what's the most practical way to do this. Avol batuach hayameisha sheyalu v'yichmashu v'chulu. Moshe was confident, was certain that they're going to go up and they're going to conquer the land. Ki chein tziva Hashem, because that's what the Eibishter commanded. Ulam ha-meraglim, however, the meraglim, la'achrei she-sipru al-dvara-om, ve-ha-orim ve-ha-orets. After they told about the people and the cities and the land, hoisifu ve-hisiku maskana, they added on a conclusion that nobody had asked them for. They said, lenucha lalis ala'om ki-chazaku mimenu. We cannot go up against the nation because they're too strong. They're too strong for us. Or mimenu, Rashi says, mimenu means from the Eibishter. Hainu shemachmas hakushim shero bekibush Eretz Yisrael b'derech hateva, because of the hardships that they saw in conquering Eretz Yisrael naturally, hesiku, they concluded, shelenucha la'alois l'kaifsha, we cannot go up to conquer it, afal pi shekin tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though the Eibishter commanded that this is what they should do. And this was their chet. Their chet wasn't that they told the negative report. The negative report, that was part of their mission. Give us the facts. Don't sugarcoat it. But a maskana, nobody asked you if we could or if we can't. And for them to come and say, Leinucha lalos, even though the Eibishter said that we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, that was a chet. And because of that, they could not go. And the whole Am Yisrael of that time, that went along with them, could not go into Eretz Yisrael. Pisa Buvan. Based on this, it is understood. Shahayra misipur ha-meraglim. If this is what the mistake of the meraglim was, the meraglim came to the conclusion that we can't go, it's too difficult for us, even though Hashem said we could. If this was the problem, this will now shed light on how we could apply this to every aspect of Torah and Mitzvahs. Al pi zeh muvan shehayra misipur ha-meraglim, hi shayaches l'chlolos ha-Torah u-Mitzvahs. Yesod ikri b'kiyum kol ha-Mitzvahs hu. There is a fundamental rule, a fundamental, general foundation, a fundamental rule in the fulfillment of all the mitzvahs. Hayidia, the knowledge. Shemikivon shahamitzvahs, im tzivuyei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since the mitzvahs were commanded by Hashem, borur hadavar she'efsher lekaimam, it is clear, it is certain that we can fulfill them. Ki in HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevakish, because the Eibishter only asks of us that which is within our ability to accomplish. Even a human being, if only he has basic knowledge, won't ask someone or command someone to do something when he knows that the person that's being commanded does not have the ability to fulfill it. Especially, hypothetically speaking, if the commandment came from the person that made the thing that is being commanded. For example, if a person makes a machine, person designs a machine to whatever it might be, a machine that has to accomplish something. He's certainly not going to make the machine have to do something without giving it the power to do it. Certainly, he does it in a way that it should be able to fulfill the reason why it's being created. A human being can sometimes make a mistake, which means a human being can think that this could accomplish it, and it can't. But he certainly, if he thinks it can't accomplish it, or if he knows he can't accomplish it, he certainly won't give it a commandment to do something that it can't do. So how much more so the Eibishter, who is the king of all kings, the Etzem HaTeva, Tzedek, and the most perfect, good and just, the perfection of good and just, that he will not demand from the person who he is commanding something which he himself, the Eibishter himself, created him. Something that's not within his power. Koyach shenosan boy, the koyach that Hashem gave him, lekaimoy, to fulfill it. And in the parentheses he adds, v'ariyatzle deshayach Hashem tolos b'cheshbon. And by the Eibishter, there's no mistake. A human being can make a mistake and think that the person could do it and they can't. But the Eibishter doesn't make such mistakes. So if the Eibishter gave us a mitzvah to do it, he also gave us the koyach to do it, and he knows that we have the koyach to do it, and therefore we have to approach the mitzvah with the knowledge that we are able to do this mitzvah because Hashem gave us the koyach to do it. Elo. Shalachra yadiyazu. Once we know this, once we know that the Eibishter gave us a mitzvah, then he also gave us the power, the koyach, the strength needed to fulfill it. Haregam benegia lekiyum mitzvahs, ein soimchen al hanes. Even with regards to the fulfillment of mitzvahs, we're not supposed to rely on nisim. The adrav, on the contrary, inyan ikri b'mitzvahs u'lekayimah b'derech hateva. It's a very important aspect of the mitzvah that it should be fulfilled naturally. Since the whole purpose of the mitzvah is to fulfill, is to make a dwelling place for Hashem in this physical world, therefore the fulfillment of the mitzvah has to utilize the rules of nature, so that the nature of the world and the world itself, the lowest level of the tachtonim itself, should be the tool that's being used for the dwelling place for Hashem. In other words, since the whole purpose is to bring Hashem into this world, we have to use this world with all of its ramifications, including the darech hateva, the rules of nature, to fulfill the mitzvah. There's a classic story of the Alter Rebbe, when the Alter Rebbe was in a jail, he was being transported across a river. You know, the Alter Rebbe was in a fortress that was surrounded by water. So he was being transported from one building to the other, and they had to cross over a little river. So they were in a small boat, and the Alter Rebbe saw the moon and wanted to bench Kiddush Levon. So he asked the captain, or the driver of the boat, to stop the boat so that he could stand in one place when benching Kiddush Levana, when saying Kiddush Levana. Anyway, the story goes that the officer refused to stop. So the Alter Rebbe miraculously stopped the boat once, and then he stopped the boat a second time, and then he kept on asking him to stop. And then finally, the officer realized that the Alter Rebbe has the power to stop the boat, so he stopped the boat for the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe said Kiddush Levana. So the Chayda, if the Alter Rebbe could stop the boat, why did he need the officer to stop it for him? Why couldn't he just stop the boat and say Kiddush Levana? And the answer is, the Alter Rebbe did not want to use as much as possible a nes in order to fulfill a mitzvah. So he used the nes to show the officer what he's capable of doing. When it came to actually saying the Kiddush Levana, the boat was stopped al pi derech hateva by the officer, and there was no nisim involved for this very reason. Because in order to do a mitzvah properly, to make a dirleis barab tachtonim, you want the tachtonim themselves to be utilized for the mitzvah. This story is referenced in Ha'ara 11 with a reference to the Kutu Deburim Chedek Dalad, page 1504. And it's highly recommended if you haven't yet, to read through the story with all of its details. So therefore, after I know that if Hashem gave me the mitzvah, I have the strength to do it. I have the koyach I need. But because I don't want to rely on a nes, so now, my job is to go send out beraglim. Now, once I know that I could do it, and I don't want to rely on a nes, now I have to figure out what is the best way to do this mitzvah b'derech hateva, so that I could reach the level of Allah in Allah, to elevate myself or elevate the world with the nature that's in it. So that's the lesson of Shlach Lecha Anashim V'Yosuru, that the mistake of the Meraglim was that they thought they couldn't do it, even though Hashem told them they could do it. We have to know that if David gives us a mitzvah, that we have the kayach that we need to be able to do the mitzvah. And our job is to be able to involve teva as much as possible. So we have to be meraglim, we have to scout out this mitzvah, or scout out the world, so that we should be able to do this mitzvah in the best way possible, b'derech teva. V'hine, is David. Since this Heira, this lesson, is relevant and necessary in all mitzvahs, therefore this mitzvah is brought in during the discussion and about preparing to go into Eretz Yisrael. Because going into Eretz Yisrael is a general idea that's relevant to all the mitzvahs. He's going to explain over here that going into Eretz Yisrael, that doing a mitzvah is just like going into Eretz Yisrael. That just like going into Eretz Yisrael means bringing a lakus into the Eretz, into the earthliness of the land. So too every mitzvah that we do is bringing a lakus, godliness, into the gashmias with which the mitzvah is being done. So going into Eretz Yisrael is almost a metaphor for doing a mitzvah. And that's why when it comes to going to Eretz Yisrael, this is where the Eibishter chooses to tell us this concept of Shlach Lecha V'Yosuru, that we should be able to scout out, to do the mitzvah as best as we can, b'derech hateva. V'abir bazeh. To explain this idea of the connection between mitzvahs in general and going into Eretz Yisrael. The specialty, the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, as explained in the pasuk, is the land that the eyes of Hashem are upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. The protection of Hashem and the divine providence, the Eibishter's presence there is more felt, and it's in a deeper way than in any other place in the world. Zeisimeres shebeeretz hakedush gam behagashmius gam behagashmi shebeeretz viinyoneha nirgish lekusa yizbarach begila yaser. Even in the physicality, in the physical earthliness of Eretz Yisrael, and the components of the physicality of Eretz Yisrael, you could feel, you could experience elakus, godliness, in a more revealed way. Al Pisa Muvan, Sham Shachas Kedusha Gluya, Hainu Elakuz Be'in V'Davar Gashmi, that the idea of bringing down revealed Kedusha, meaning Elakuz, godliness, into a physical or material object, Hareze Bedugmas Knisas Hadavar V'Hapu'ule V'Adam HaPeyu Eretz Yisrael, just like bringing this thing and the action and the person that's doing the action into Eretz Yisrael. In other words, if you do a mitzvah, you're bringing a lakus into the Davar Gashmi. It's just like you're going into Eretz Yisrael. You're going into a place where you could feel a lakus more. Zeisim meres, shekiyum kol mitzvah mitzvah, ubedugmas knisa l'Eretz Yisrael, that each and every, the fulfillment of each and every single mitzvah is just like going into Eretz Yisrael. Number 14, the Rebbe points out, that in the Sheish Chiris, in the six things that we're obligated to remember every day, the fact that the Eibishter brought us into Eretz Yisrael is not one of them. Even though the other things, out of 14, he mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matan Teira, and Kriyas Yamsuf, which is all part of one continuous series of events, including going into Eretz Yisrael, and yet Eretz Yisrael is not one of the Chiris. And the reason is, he says in the second paragraph of the Torah 14, because since every mitzvah is like going into Eretz Yisrael, there's no need to have a specific remembrance of the Yidden going to Eretz Yisrael, because you remember it automatically numerous times during the day when you do a mitzvah. Ki, back into the pnim of the sicha, kiyum ha-mitzvah su-kinizkir le'el ham-shachas ha-lakus b'inyonim ha-gashmim, because the fulfillment of the mitzvah is to draw down a lakus in the physical objects, she-yei asu al-yidei zeh dirilei yisbarach, that they should become a dwelling place for Hashem. And in Ha'ara 15, he references the saying of the Tzemach Tzedek. There was a certain chassid that wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the Tzemach Tzedek felt that it wasn't the right time. And the Tzemach Tzedek told him, Mach do Eretz Yisrael. Which means that wherever you bring down Ruchnis into Gashmis, wherever you bring down Kedusha into worldly matters, that is Eretz Yisrael. So, this explains not only the lesson that we take from Shlach, but also the reason why the Eibishter chose to tell this lesson in the context of Yidden going into Eretz Yisrael, because of the parallel between going into Eretz Yisrael physically and the idea of doing a mitzvah, which is being mamshich kedusha into inyanim gashmiyim. That's one lesson. Hira klolis neisefes. Another general lesson, Hashayeches l'chala mitzvahs, which is relevant to all mitzvahs, b'shlach v'gemer v'yasuros eretz kenan. In addition to the lesson that we have to know that we have the strength to fulfill it, and we have to do it as involving as much gashmius as possible, or as few miracles as possible, there's another lesson that we can take from it. Kedem kol mitzvah mitzvah, before any specific mitzvah, a person should think about, should contemplate, should dwell upon this, the meaning, the significance of the mitzvah that is about to fulfill. And not only in the specific significance of this individual mitzvah that is about to fulfill, and the gam b'techen v'kavona haklali, but also in the general significance, the general purpose or meaning of that all mitzvahs have. Shehu helech l'kayim ritzeinu yisbarach. That this person, whatever mitzvah you're going to do, you should have in mind, I am hereby about to do something that is the fulfillment of the Eibishter's ratzon. U'kalashin kol birchas ha-mitzvahs. And as we say, by every bracha that we do before a mitzvah, asher kitshonu b'mitzvesa v'tzivanu. Shal yidei kiyumayas ha-mitzvah, that by fulfilling the mitzvah, na'asa kodesh, he becomes holy, u'mekayimu ma'asha tziva yisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's fulfilling that which the Eibishter commanded him to do, v'yal yidei zeh mis'achid imoy, and through that he becomes one with the Eibishter. V'zeh u'lashin kidishonu, that's what means asher kidishonu, that I am becoming holy by doing the mitzvah, the Lashon Mitzvah, B'mitzvesav, B'lashon Tzavsa V'chibur, he's being connected with the Eibishter through doing this mitzvah. So before a person does a mitzvah, a person should not just think about the mitzvah of Tfilin L'mashal, where it's Shivud HaMeach V'alev, or the mitzvah, whatever mitzvah the person is doing, there's a specific kavanah, some mitzvahs that he has in that specific mitzvah. But on top of that, there's a general kavanah that the shas, I'm about to do a mitzvah, I'm going to do the Eibishter's ratzon, and with this mitzvah I'm going to become holier, and with this mitzvah I will connect myself to the Eibishter. U'brachazum mevarchim lifnei kima mitzvah eivir la'asa yosan. This bracha is made, generally speaking, before the mitzvah is done. We always make the bracha, or almost always make the bracha, before the mitzvah, leheiris, to teach us, that even before I do the mitzvah, that before I do a mitzvah, I should think, a person should think, and contemplate on the general meaning and purpose of mitzvahs. And the same thing comes on a person who's going to do the mitzvah of learning Torah. Before you learn Torah, you make a bracha of Birchas HaTorah. And what does it say? Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, the Eibishter has chosen us from the other nations. V'nasam lanu es Torah, say, and he gave us his Torah. Zei se meres. Shakos baruch hu nasam lanu es HaTorah, k'meishi hi Torah, say, etzle yizbarach. The Eibishter gave us the Torah, the way it's Torah, say, the way it's by him, the way it's on an Eibishter's level. and that he gave to us. And then we conclude the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, noitzin atayri lashon heva, ki b'chol yeim yiyu b'necha chadashim, that we say it in the present tense. The Eibush is giving us the Torah, because the Torah every single day is something new for us. Because in all this, ala adam li yizbeinim, kaidim li medat Torah. So this is what a person should think about before you give it, before you learn Torah. You should realize that the Eibush is giving you his Torah on the Eibush's level. And every single moment and every single day, the Torah is new. And the Eibush is giving it to you today. Noisin ha-Teira. And this is how you should approach learning Torah. Vizui eras v'yasuru eseres Kanan. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us, that they should scout out the land of Kanan. Hanemar b'turachan l'knis el Yisrael, which was said as a preparation to going into Eretz Yisrael. Lifnei kiyum ha-mitzvah, tzorich ha-adam l'asur. Before a person does a mitzvah, he should scout it out. Uli's beinin, or check it out, or learn about it. Uli's beinin, being yana, and contemplate on its significance, on its kavanos, and its purpose. Kavanos, its intention, tachlisa, and its purpose. Shelat teira v'amitzvah shevalumadu l'kayim, of the teira that he's about to learn, and the mitzvah that he's about to fulfill. Pisa move on. Based on this, we now understand. Now we have two eidos. One eido is to know that every mitzvah is possible. And the other eido is that we should think about a mitzvah. And the first eido is that every mitzvah is possible. We have to see the best way to do it, to involve the tachton. And the second eido, that every mitzvah you have to recognize its purpose, that it's to connect us with the Yevishter and to bring Kedusha into our lives and into the world, and therefore we have to contemplate on that before we do a mitzvah or before we learn Torah. Now we understand how the message of Shlach, Shemoshe hu ha-meshaleach, which Moshe is sending us out, or the Moshe within each and every one of us is sending us on this mission to do Torah mitzvahs. So now we understand that this idea, this shlach, yenukuda, you say this, the chol parshis ha-sedra, is the fundamental message of all the parshis, all the sections of our sedra. So kula nekroi shlach, all of them are called shlach. V'lo yeidu shenemra b'tchilas ha-sedra, koidim shenemra tzivu mishvan, it said in the beginning of the sedra, before we receive those tzivuyim. Because these heirois, these lessons, which we learned from the story of the selending of the Miraglim, boys, they come as a preparation and as a foundation to all the mitzvahs. And therefore, they're connected to it. And Shlach comes before it, because it's the foundation of it and it's the preparation for it. And now we understand the answer to our initial question. Why the whole parsha is called Shlach, if at the time we thought that Shlach was just a one-time event in history, it turns out that Shlach is actually very, very relevant to every mitzvah, especially every single mitzvah, and therefore all of the parshias and all of the issues that are discussed in Shlach are all named Shlach, and the actual lesson of Shlach v'yosuru comes before all of them. We have one last question. The question is going to be, based on the above, Shlach v'yasuru is not optional. It's mandatory. In order to do a mitzvah properly, you have to know that you can do it. You have to do it b'derech hateva. You have to think about the kavanas ha-mitzvahs and why it's being done and what the purpose of it is. It's all a mandatory part of Torah mitzvahs. So in that case, why does the Eibishter say to Moshe, Shlach l'cha l'daitcha? You could choose. If you want, you could send. This is what he's going to address in Eizvav. According to this, we have to understand. Since this idea of Shlach v'Yasuru has fundamental and very, very basic lessons, seemingly it is mandatory, it is necessary. Why does the Eibishter make it optional, dependent on Moshe's will? If Moshe wants or not, Be'omrei told him, Shlach lecha l'daitecha, ani eini mitzav alach, im tirtze shlach, I'm not commanding you to do this. Only if you want to do this, can you? Seemingly, it shouldn't have been optional. It should have been something. They should have said, Shlach v'yasuru, without Shlach lecha. And the answer to this is going to bring in this extremely empowering lesson that when we do something willingly, it's so much more powerful than if we do it because we have to. And let's learn that inside. If you have an opiyam of Le'el, so this will be understood according to what we said earlier, that the purpose of the fulfillment of Teiro Mitzvahs is for the sake of bringing down a lakus into Inyanim Gashmim, into physical matter, into the physical world. This was mentioned over here in the towards the end of his Gimel, that the Ein Simchan al Anes, the Adarabe Inyan Ikri Mitzvahs, is to be carried derech HaTeva, because you want to use the Teva to be the Tachtein that becomes a Dirleis Baruch HaTachteinim. So we now understand that the whole idea of a Mitzvah Mitzvah is to bring a Lekos into Gashmim, Ubeifin Amar B'Medrish, and on what level? On what level do I want to bring down a lakus? On the level as explained in the Medrash, b'negiyah l'chidush d'matan Torah, with regards to the accomplishment, to the achievement, to the what Matan Torah introduced to the world was that tachteinim yalu l'elyonim, that the ones from below can go up to above. V'hine, hachilik shebin elyon d'nidin didan l'tachtein, the difference between an elyon in our case, which was the heavens or the Eibishter or the spiritual worlds, to a tachtein. Or in other words, between the creator and the creation. How do you differentiate between Elyon and Tachta? Or between Beira and Nivra? Beira u'b'chines mashpia, v'nivra u'b'chines mekabel. Beira gives, is giving, and the Nivra, the creation, is receiving. And Nivra mitzadat me'ele komitzius. The Nivra, the creation on its own, has no reality, has no mitzius. There's nothing there. And he receives his reality and everything he needs to sustain itself from his creator. So the Elyon is the giver and the Tachton is the recipient. And if the whole purpose of Matan Teira is that the Tachton should be elevated to the level of the Elyon, how they move on, Shetechin Aliyazu, he Shatachton Yisale Liyez Bibchinis Mashpia Kmei Elyon. Then how does the Tachton go up Lamaila? The Tachton should become just like the Elyon. The Tachton should also be the Mashpia. That the Tachton should also be able to give. Not just the Tachton should be a recipient, the Tachton should also be able to give. In other words, if you want to say Tachtonim Yalu Le'elyonu, the Tachton should become an Elyon, if the Tachton is spiritual, but it's not being given the opportunity to give, then it's not really an Elyon. Then it's still a Tachton. Ukmaimer Azal Nas Shutiv La'Kadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis. There's various different places in Gemara where there's an expression that a person could become a partner to the Eibishter Ma'aseh Bereishis. Shubchinis Mashpia Kivyachov Ma'aseh Bereishis. What does it mean a partner? That I'm doing the same thing that the other partner is doing. Just like the Eibishter is creating the world, I'm partnering with the Eibishter in creating the world and giving to the world. V'chein B'Teira. Also in Teira, there has to be the idea that I'm giving to Teira. Hari Amru Razal, and the example we bring is from that which Chazal tell us in the Gemara of Metzia. The Eibishter smiles and says, Natschuni Bonai, Natschuni Bonai. My children are victorious. Over there, there's a story with a tanur shalachnoi, a certain type of oven that they weren't sure if it was a keli, and therefore Makabal Toma, or because it could be used as an oven, or because it was made from a certain shape that there was no actual area of receiving, it's not a keli. And there was machlekes between the Rebbe Lezer and the Chachamim. And in order to prove, for Rebbe Lezer to prove his point, he tried all different types of miracles. The wall started caving in, and the stream started flowing through the Beis Medrash. All different miracles. That, and even a baskel came to the Maila and said that the halacha was like Rebbe Lezer. And then they said, Teirulei Bashamayimi. And they didn't paskin like it, like Rebbe Lezer. And the Eibishter smiled and said, Natschuni Banai, Natschuni Banai, my children are victorious over me. In other words, even though the miracles were coming from the Eibishter to try to side with Rebbe Lezer, nevertheless, the Teda paskined that you don't paskin according to Nisim, and the halacha would not be like Rebbe Lezer, but Achad Abul Atis would go Basarev. So the fact that we could paskin, we basically, the Chachamim, could paskin in Torah, they're giving to Torah. They're shutuf to the Eibishter in Torah. Sharizeu amitis in yishutuf, shalapahamim in atzeach shutuf zel b'mashenim. If you have, if you're true partners or true equals, then sometimes this partner wins and this partner wins. Natschuni Banai is the greatest proof that we, Yidden, are shutfim to the Eibishter by being mashpia, by giving to Teira. For Yisrael meisifim umashpiim b'teira. And Yidden add and give to Teira. And the Odyssey brings the expression lafashala, which is a lesson from the Zayar that we're supposed to be Moisif and Torah. So Rebbe very often spoke about when he asked of us to write Chidushe Torah and Ha'aris, etc. That the whole idea of learning Torah is lafashala, to continue to add in Torah. So that's lesson Moisifim. And Mashpiim, he uses the muscle of the fact that the Yidden are the Chasen and the Torah is the Kala. And just like a chasen is the mashpia to the kalo, who is the mekado, the yidden are meisif, are mashpia to the Torah. It's interesting to note, in Ara 28, he refers to the amicht of klali. This vibrangin was from Shlach Tavshin Lamed Beis, which happens to be Shnas Hashivim, the year of the Rebbe's 70th birthday. And in the Ha'ara, he references the Micht of Klali, which was given out and dated Yud Aleph Nissen Tavshin Lamed Beis. And this is something that the Rebbe also spoke in the Farbrengen of Yud Aleph Nissen Tavshin Lamed Beis. And the Rebbe over there spoke about this idea that Adam La'amal Yulad, that a person was created to toil. And the Rebbe asks and says, in the letter, that even though Teva Atov Lehitiv, the Eibishter is very kind, nevertheless, the Eibishter created us in a way that we should have to work hard. And the reason for that is that the Eibishter doesn't just want that we should enjoy the world. The Eibishter wants us to enjoy the world to its fullest. And the nature of the person is that the greatest enjoyment is when he partners in the accomplishment and reaches it through his own hard work, as the lashon is Adam Reitze Bekab Shaloi. In other words, when a person gets something for free, it's embarrassing. It's called Nama de Kisufa, bread of shame. It's embarrassing that I couldn't do it myself and it had to be given to me for free. And therefore, the Eibishter created us to work and toil, Adam Lamo Yulad, so that we should be able to feel accomplished in this world. In the letter, in the Micht of Klali, there's a Yisof al-Achaz Man in the Shuli Agilion, and this is taken from the Fibrengen of Idal of Nissen Tav Shalamet Beis. And over there, the Rebbe asks, the whole thing that a person's nature is that we want to work hard, that is part of the nature the Eibishter gave us. So why couldn't the Eibishter create us in a way that we should be able to have the greatest enjoyment without working hard? And the Rebbe says over there in the letter taken from the Sicha, he says that the ultimate good that a person could reach is when not only he reaches to the ultimate perfection of being a creation, but if he could reach the level of creator. And therefore the Eibishter wanted that a person should have to work hard to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, to give him the ability to be a mashpia, to a creator, that he's accomplishing things for himself, because that puts him on the level of creator, and that puts him as a shutif, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'maaseh bereishis. In other words, this very reason that the Eibishter created us with a nature, that we don't like free things, that we want to work hard, is the greatest kindness from the Eibishter, because by working hard, we could reach that we're not just a mekabo, but that we're also a shutif HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'maaseh bereishis. We are in the level of Beira. So it's interesting how he carries on that theme into this Fibrengen, into this Sicha, that when it says Tachteinim Yalu L'Elyeinim, the idea is that the ultimate purpose is that a Yid should not just reach the highest level of Tachtein, which would be to accomplish whatever he can in this world as a creation, but the ultimate goal is that Yalul Elyonim, that the Tachton, the simple person on this world, should be able to be a creator, to be a giver, to give to the world, and to give to Torah, and that is the ultimate purpose of Torah, and the ultimate perfection of Tachtonim Yalul Elyonim. And now we can understand, now that we've built up the power of the individual, that we want the individual to do things so that he could become on the level of Beira, now this explains to us why the Eibishter did not command Shlach V'Yasudu. Because I move on. So now we understand why these commandments are not said in a commandment. Even though the are necessary. When a person fulfills the commandment of the Eibishter, even though this elevates him, this lifts him up, this does not lift him up to the ultimate level of mashpia, the level of elyonim, shari sof sof, einay elo mekayim tzivui, shezeu gam nesines koyach me'abeira. He's only just fulfilling the commandment, which is also a commandment that also comes with the strength from the Creator. He's still in part receiving from the Creator. Eibishter commanded me to do something, so I do it. When it's on the level of ladaitecha, that he's doing it on his own accord, with his own strengths, then he could be lifted up to the level of mashpia, because he's doing it from his own understanding, and he's doing it from his own will, and therefore he's not relying on the Beira to give him the Kayach, and therefore he could reach the highest level of being in the level of Mashpia, like in Elyon. And this, in addition to the fact that we said before, that Shlach V'Yosudu has to come before everything, because we have to know these Eidois. We have to know these lessons, that we have the koyach to fulfill a mitzvah, and that we have to think about the general kavanas ha-mitzvahs before we do a mitzvah. But now there's an even deeper reason why we have to have the story of the shluach ha-meraglim even before all the other mitzvahs in the parasha. Ki leirak ha-irosh v'inyan ha-shlach. Not only are the previous lessons that we gave with regards to Shlach lessons that are relevant to all aspects of Torah and Mitzvahs, Also, the way the Eirois came, that it was Shlach Lecha L'daitecha, Melamed Tachas, like one of the Torah Mitzvahs, that teaches us the ultimate purpose of Torah Mitzvahs, Tachteinim Yalu L'Elyeinim, that it could take a Tachtein, a person down here on this world, and elevate him to the level of an Elyeinim, that he could do a Mitzvah, and this makes him on the level of Mashpia, on the level of Beira, and a Shutif Lakas Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis, a partner to the Eibishter, in Ma'aseh Bereishis, that he's giving to creation, and he's giving to Torah, and that is the ultimate purpose of Matan Torah and the ultimate state of completion. Shukriya.